I'm here in the workhouse just outside Bourne Bois, and I'm talking to Nigel. Nigel, you're a local here in the town.
Some people would say that I was an import. I spent a lot of time away. My mother was born here, and even her mother was born here in the same house, which is most unusual for mother and daughter to be born in the same house. You often get sons and...
That's right. And so your mother was Welsh, am I right?
No, absolutely not.
Sorry, you better correct me. Your mother was...
My mother was born about half a mile over in that direction, in a house that's fallen in now, or ruined. And so was her mother. And that was unusual to have mother and daughter born in the same house. But it happened that my grandfather, my mother's father, was away in the army. It was the same army for England and Ireland at the time. And so his daughter was staying with her own mother.
Was this the First World War or the Second World War? First World War.
First, of course, yes.
And, okay, so we walk up this way and you can talk to me. So you were born in 1945, so really a great part of your life was during the troubles here on the border towns.
Well, no, because I was in Dublin when most of the troubles were. I was working in... I was at college in Dublin, and then I was working in Dublin. And mostly in telecommunications. And so I was not really involved in the Troubles.
But were you affected or were you a victim of the Troubles?
No, neither directly. I mean, indirectly, very slightly. I mean, you know, hassles with the crossing the border when I wanted to cross the border, when I was driving across the border. Sometimes with the British Army, sometimes with others, but minor hassles that everybody had.
Yeah, but coming from and living in a big house, you had a farm there, I'm sure.
Well, the troubles were really over when I took over from my parents in 1981-82.
Okay, and but at that particular time, you know, when you were on holidays at home and when you were growing up, did you find it difficult? I mean, there must have been harassment or
very
threatening
little.
Or...
Very little in this area. I mean, Bourne Bois was kind of well away from it as far as we were concerned. I mean, we got on very well with our neighbours in most cases, and our neighbours got on very well with us in most cases.
And
my mother was very well respected, and did a lot for the community in general, and I try to know whether I succeed or not. Others, after I've gone, will decide.
Yeah, of course. But was it a thing that, you know, kind of the responsibility, I suppose, of running... Your mother was still alive when you came back?
No, she died, and I took over the farm after she died.
Yeah.
I wound up my affairs in Dublin, and I sold a company, and...
Okay, so when you were at home and you'd taken over, trying to manage the great house or the big house?
It's not a big house.
I mean, yeah.
It's bigger than the average semi-detached suburban, yes, but it's not a big house as big houses go by any manner of means.
I see.
I mean, it was an old rectory.
Oh, I see, yes, and... who was the vicar there at the time?
He left in 1947. His name was Armstrong.
Okay.
And the house was empty for several years. And my mother and, well, my parents brought me over as a child. And stayed in the family home.
Yeah.
But because there were other... siblings and male siblings, the family home would have gone to them, but in fact that didn't work out for one reason or another. That's a totally different story. Nothing to do again with the Troubles. But an offer was put on the rectory in 1950, and later that year they heard that the offer was successful and started, you know, doing it up and living there.
And your farm is quite close proximity to where the border is.
Yes. No, there was never any involvement with the border or the farm. In fact, before the farm, before I took over, my parents had a bit of a market garden and they sold vegetables and tomatoes and lettuces and things in Ballyconnell, in Ballinamore and in Enniskillen.
I see.
And no bother. I mean, a bit of paperwork going across the border, but you know, that was before my time.
I know, yes. And the real tragedy of the troubles, if you like, the what was going on, it's extraordinary that it didn't visit your house or that it didn't cause any disturbance.
Not
or,
that I'm aware of. Yeah. I mean, you know, the only thing was sometimes the British Army were overzealous when we were crossing the border and wanted to look in everything and anything, you know, take the spare wheel out of the car, and one soldier even wanted the radiator cap opened, and I said, you can open it yourself, and he opened it, and of course he got burnt.
I see.
It blew off because the radiator, the water was hot, but I mean, you know, that was his own fault.
Okay.
And he, you know, he let me go. He let me go after that. But, you know, why he would want the radiator cap open, I don't know, but...
It's amazing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And but you grew up in the Church of Ireland tradition, or
sort of distanced from. You see, when I was working in Dublin, I went away from it altogether, and it's only when I came home that I came back to it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like a lot of young people, you know, don't follow their religion as well as they should.
But that isn't a
Protestant or a Church of Ireland thing. I mean, you know, a lot of Roman Catholics don't follow their religion as zealously as their parents want them to either.
Of course. But there would be, you know, from the stories that I've heard so far, that, you know, that they, there was a lot of jealousy, maybe a lot of mistrust, a lot of bitterness to anybody who was Anglo-Irish, or who was in that vein, living on the border.
No, we didn't feel it.
You didn't feel it?
No.
And that's extraordinary. And did you say this area here survived a lot of the
there was very
the bombings and the trouble?
Yes. There was very little trouble. You're talking about the 70s now, not the 20s, I presume.
No, 70s.
I mean, if you're talking
and
about the 1920s, of course there were troubles in the 20s, but.
But no, in the
70s and 80s, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I wasn't here until 81, but or 81, 82, but you know, wasn't anything serious before that or after that.
Well, that and the communities were beginning to come together then.
Very much so. Yes. In fact, I don't think they were really ever separated very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were the odd words and so on said, and you know, us and them, but it wasn't serious.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it was even in Ballyconnell, which was far more I don't know what the word is, but there was far more animosity in Ballyconnell than there was around Bourne-Bray.
I see. And when the roads were closed off, did that pose a problem?
They weren't in Bourne-Bray. They were closed over across the border, you know, at the border.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's miles away.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it's 2 hours' walk.
Nigel, we'll walk back down.
I'm sorry, I haven't been any help to you.
Oh, God, you are. Yeah, I mean, every little story. I mean, you don't want people to exaggerate stories and tell a story for the sake of telling a story. But no, that's it's unusual. I would have spoken in Monaghan to some of the landowners, as you say, but they had awful trouble, you know.
Yeah. No, I mean, we were very lucky here, and we knew we were lucky.
Yeah. I suppose that's important too. That
I mean, there are certainly a few other Protestants around, and I'm not aware of any of them having any serious hassles.
Yeah. It's interesting you should say that. And at any stage, your mother, because she would have been very vulnerable living on her own with a family, I suppose, that any threats weren't put to her.
Yes, there were odd words occasionally, but nothing serious and nothing that, nothing came out of those, in inverted commas, threats.
Yeah.
They weren't serious.
I see. Well, Nigel, it's
I'm sorry, I haven't been able to be helpful to you. I mean, I know it's not what you wanted to hear.
No, I just maybe assumed differently, but it's always good to know, and get an idea, get a feel for it. So PJ McCaffrey, a retired school teacher, here in Bawn Boy.
I was teaching in Kells in Nigeria.
In Nigeria, but you originally came from
Clincourtney, Bawn Boy, a townland up the road there.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I came from there originally, with a farm over there, cattle and mixed farm, hens and everything like that, And the four of us grew up, four brothers there, and a mother grew up there,
And what was it like growing up there? Was it... we walked down this way.
Yeah. There was no money. Everything was... no money for anything, The only time that we had meat would really be for... like meat, butcher's meat, would maybe once a year or twice a year. You had chickens, and you always kill the pig. I killed the pig every year, and the pig used to be... I remember those eight sides of bacon, we called them, used to have the pig. They were always hung up in the kitchen after they were cured with salt. We cured them in salt, 4 stone of salt used to get them. But in every house that had a bacon box...
I see, yes.
And you put the bacon in there and you salt it, then you turn it after a fortnight, and then you re-salt it. Then you brought it in the house and hung it up. And after a year, it'd be still nice and firm. Great, lovely to eat.
And was it smoked as well? Or?
It would be a bit, it was not much smoked. Well, they're all open fireplaces at that time,
Yeah.
And then that was the bacon. That's only, you'd have that for your dinner every day, and bacon and cabbage nearly every day. And then you had the Culcannon on a Friday. You ever hear of Culcannon?
No, can you explain that?
The new potatoes, you just got them, mashed them up, and you put a heap of them out in the plate, with a dibble in the middle of them, and put a bit of butter into it, and then that's what you ate. And you could mix onions with it too. There's nothing else with it.
And that would be good enough to sustain
that's your dinner,
you?
That's your dinner, yeah. Everyone got that in the house, with a farm labourer there too. He used to work, like after my father died,
So how many acres of land were you?
Well, it's about something over 70.
Yeah. So it was quite a substantial farm.
It would, but there'd be a lot of be bog in that, and there would be some of it wouldn't be great land, All the land around West Cavan is good, Very little of it anyway,
How close are you to the border? Were you when you were growing up there?
Well, I was here Bawn Boy, but it can't be a mile, but 5-6 miles.
Yeah.
And then we used to see the planes from the Second World War flying around.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it used to come across the border, and they're flying around. We were out in the fields, and you see the planes flying around. And one of them crashed over there in Port Lake, near Nigel's, and where he's living now. The rector was there living at the time.
That's Nigel...
Rophy.
Yeah.
That was the rector of his house,
yes.
Where he's living now. That was the rector. And so he was the... Armstrong was the rector there. So they were the first New Zealanders. Now, crashed out... there's an island in the middle of that lake, a graveyard... in the middle of that lake, opposite.
Yeah.
And I was just crashed beside the graveyard, the plane, and the two British pilots bailed out. There's a book on it, and the plane was flying around, on no one on board for about a couple of circles round. And the book was good to read.
Yeah.
If you got to read, ask Nigel to put the book on there.
And did you see that plane coming
no,
down?
No, I didn't see a plane coming down. Because I was only young, but I saw this all the passing about bullets and everything came out of it. Yeah. And then they were all out looking for it,
Yeah.
And one of the fellas was a little pile of winds over in the hill, and there was like 6 inches of guards and army and everything around it. Thought us the plane was on fire, and the plane was like half a mile away from there, But anyway, the plane crashed, and the pilot, one of them landed up here in Culler, next parish, and the priest there, he had no shoes on him, and the priest gave me a pair of shoes and come across the border. Only was a priest, he'd been in trouble for getting him out of the country,
And tell me, what year were you born yourself?
36.
So... if you were born in 1936, then you grew up with... What was the atmosphere like? Was it there was no troubles at that time, you know.
No trouble. It was just ordinary. No one had anything, no money. It was no money, that basic what it was, you know. And it was like poverty in every place, every now.
And what was it like crossing over back and forth over the border then?
You had to have a pass, passbook. I have a passbook, my uncle's passbook at home now. And you had to have a photograph was on it, like a passport. Only it was a passport going across the border. They couldn't go across the border. Now, they used to go across here at Ballyconnell. It was an unapproved road.
Okay.
And used to be a lot of smuggling there. And there was one house there on the border. Half the house was in Fermanagh and half in Cavan. And you could smuggle from a room to another. But there was one custom man in Ballyconnell, and he had only a bicycle, you see. And he used to be smuggling cattle across and everything like that. And they come along with an old cow or something like that. And they'd walk the cow along, and the custom man would see them and come and take the cow and had to go off the pound, and then they brought the drove of cattle across then.
I see.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of that.
Oh, there was a lot of smuggling and fertilizer and everything was coming across this way that time. And in the war years, there was only brown bread. You couldn't use only brown flour, they called it. And it was all bread, you know, couldn't get white bread. You could white bread across the border, and you were allowed to bring across two loaves. And then some people used what they called sieve the flour, take the additive out of it, you know. And then that was a crime. You would be summoned for that.
I see. So, but these were it was extra income, you know. Without
smuggling, tea used to come across. A lot of tea come across. Tea was scarce. Everyone was in rations here. You see, we all had ration books, and then the head of the house had red lines across the back of the ration book, you know. But then there was a lot of tea. But then some of the smart guys came in, and some people. But it used to be tea chest of tea, you know, big tea. Someone come along and got bought a tea chest of tea, and there was that deputy, and then all sawdust underneath.
I see that they were trying to catch out.
Oh, they were caught. A lot of people caught that, but there was a lot of smuggling here at the border. But that was an unapproved road. Then Swaddling Bar was the approved road. And then every car had to have a triptych, they call it a triptych, triangular thing on your windscreen. To get across the border, you had to check into customs every time you went across the border and come back, you know.
And what business would you have, say, now, across? You'd be going to Enniskillen, I suppose, would you?
Would you, Enniskillen, that one. Then all my relatives were down the far side of the border. My grandfather was from down there. My grandmother was from down there. My grandmother was a grand-aunt of Sean Quinn's.
Oh, yeah, from Derry Lee, is it?
From Derry Lynn. Timor down there. Yeah, across the border, just across the border. You'd be going across into relatives, all the relatives were down there, you know.
I see. So you'd be going back and forth.
Yeah, you would, yeah.
So what happened then when the Troubles broke out in 1969?
I wasn't here then. I wasn't in born, like in this area, no.
Yeah.
But there were, 56 was the first raid on the Omagh barracks. And that was, they broke into the army barracks and they stole a lorry load of ammunition then. There was a fellow from Navan, was involved in it. There was a lot of them involved in that, you know. And they got away with it anyway, you know. And that was the first that then came on in the 60s. But there used to be, there was always that resentment there between the differences, you know. Especially, we lived a lot of Protestants, Church of Ireland around us, you know. And 12th of July come, they'd hardly talk to you, you know, to be all off to the Orange Walks, you see. And then they wouldn't, like, they didn't work on 12th of July. And all it was, some of them wouldn't talk to you then. And there was one townland over there, all Protestants were living in it. And if any place came for sale there then, they sold it to one of their own. Catholic couldn't buy it. Wouldn't a Catholic buy it?
I see.
And I was here, in the south, you know.
And we
were all called staters. That's what we're all called staters, like, from the Free State. Anyone in the north you're talking about, they're a status, you know.
I see. But was there intimidation coming from, say, the Catholics against the Protestants?
Not really. There was kind of accepted them that way. That's all. No.
Yeah.
There wasn't, but I said just the poverty was around here. The hungry 40s used to be talking about that, you know.
Yeah.
And then, everyone, had well, during the war, like people used to churn their own milk and make their own butter, and then there was all, everyone made their own butter nearly, you know. And then there's a big house now up here, going up on the Bandamore Road, we call it, and Jampalinga in there now, that are Buddhists, and that was Owen Doon, it was called, Owen Doon House, you know. And there's a whole lot of them in there now. They bought the place there, someone, years ago, and they're all in there now. And they're welcome visitors. You go in there and have a chat and show you around, and they're nice. And the head of them there, I met Dalai Lama when he was over here, you know.
So totally different use nowadays given to these great houses. But when you were, I know you were teaching in Kells, but...
In Nigeria. I was teaching a couple of years in Nigeria. I was out there during the Civil War.
So were you a missioner? Were you a
priest? No. I was an engineer and metalwork teacher.
You were engineering.
I was with the SMA, and I was with the priest over the college out there, was Father Slattery from Cork. The brother had a travel agency in Fermoy, I think it was Slattery's travel agency.
Was he Father Maurice Slattery?
I'll think of his name now. Dennis Slattery.
Yeah.
He's buried down in Cork now, down in the
And was he from Kerry?
No, he's from Cork.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
From Moy, I think he must have been from around. And another brother had a camera shop there in the old Caledon Cinema in Connell Street in Dublin, you know.
Yeah.
But he was the man who was over there. And he trained the Nigerian team.
Yeah.
Soccer team out there, you know.
Did you play for Cavan yourself? Minor or
senior? Senior.
You were on the senior team?
Yeah.
What years?
62 and 64. We won the Ulster Championship those 2 years, and Kerry beat us in the semi final the second year, you know. And I was playing Tom Long, called Tom Long. I think he was national teacher down there, you know, in Kerry, you know.
But tell me, when you were away in Nigeria, so the troubles were raging here at the time in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, but there were bigger troubles out there.
Oh, I know.
Biafran War was on then, you know.
But tell me about home. Was there any problem, intimidation or difficulty?
There's no intimidation around here, no, this area, no. No intimidation, don't you? And I used to go up the north, like that time too, during the troubles, and you just had to be careful, you know. And the only people up there you had to be wary of, like later on, were the UDR. The British soldiers were all right, they were human. The UDR were XP specials.
Yeah.
And they're the people that hated the Southerners, you know. And they were, that's the people you had to be careful of up there. You wouldn't go out at night up there, you know. It was like, look what happened to Miami Showban, you know. Like that, you know.
Yeah, but did you find that there was, a Protestant farmer, your neighbour next door, was he...
No, they were acceptable. They just took them as ordinary other people, you know.
Yeah.
But the only thing, there was a shop here, the pub, one of the pubs here in Bonn, this is going back for the 1920, Mullally's owned it. And the fellow was over there, this is going back to the 20. The fellow in the IRA was from Swat, he was Woods, Patrick Woods. And they came looking for, he was going to court one of Mullally's sisters, you know. And they came into the house here looking for him in Bourne, in Mullally's house. And they looked around wherever they come to see. There was an open fire there. And they're over the chimney. And fired up the chimney. Thought he might be hiding up in the chimney.
That was back in...
Back before my time, you know.
The War of Independence time.
Oh, yeah.
Was your father involved in?
He was, yeah. He was, yeah.
He was member of the IRA then, or was he?
He was. He was in. He was an active service. You have a medal. An active service medal from him, you know. It has. Well, they're all. I think there was a Nam stump on our land over in Lincourt. It's off the main road, you know.
So, and do you think in more recent times then there would have been support for the IRA in the beginning of the troubles?
Here.
Yeah.
There was it here. This was the church here, the local church. This building here. Now,
the old poorhouse here?
This is the workhouse.
Or the workhouse,
yeah. The workhouse was called. And that was the church and the workhouse. The dining hall was here.
Yeah.
And then it went up, and that was the technical school there.
Yeah.
And dance hall, this is the dance hall we're in here.
I see.
But what was it, and before that, the troubles. I don't know where was cut.
Yeah, I was just saying, you know, when the troubles broke out, was there support for the IRA locally here?
There was, because there used to be mass here. That's why I was getting out. Yeah. Mass here. And they used to be training up on the mountain. And they come down. They used to come down the mass here. And, like, no one passed any mass, and they were training up. And then with a bit of uniform.
Yeah.
Kieran might remember them. And you remember them coming to mass here, Kieran, down from the mountain? They used to be training up on the mountain, the IRA.
Heard about it.
They used to come down here, and there was such a support, like, no one was against them here.
Yeah.
No, there wasn't, no.
That was in the 50s.
Aye.
Yeah. Tell me, has everybody gone home, or is
No, there's a few left.
Oh,
there.
Good, yeah.
Well, they're drifting home, all right.
This band was
PJ McCaffrey, yeah.
Yeah. PJ, thank you very much for talking to me. That was great. Thank you.